Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story. From busting a drug trafficking ring to arresting a top cartel leader, the U.S. is moving ahead to rein in the fentanyl crisis. But one engine that fuels the drug flow is still on. We look at how Chinese brokers help cartels launder their drug proceeds. More tariffs on the way. President Trump said on Tuesday he would impose roughly 25% levies on imported cars, medicines, and semiconductors. The man who is expected to lead President Trump's trade agenda is officially on the job. The Wall Street billionaire Howard Lutnick now confirmed as Commerce Secretary. His message to China.
When we say no, the answer is no.
And an unusual flu season in China. Residents across China reporting far more illness-related deaths than in standard years. Some of them casting doubt on what's causing it and what Chinese authorities are saying. Another step forward in tackling the fentanyl crisis that's claiming American lives. Law enforcement in New York busting a drug trafficking ring in the Hudson Valley Wednesday. This comes after Mexico arrested a top leader of the Sinaloa cartel named Humberto Rivera. He's in the process of being extradited to the U.S. Sinaloa is the Mexican drug cartel that's largely blamed for the fentanyl crisis here at home. But the drug's precursor chemicals actually get their start in China and are sent to Mexico for processing. From there, they enter the U.S. through the southern border. President Trump has been trying to stem the flow by slapping tariffs on China, Canada, and Mexico. But there's another front in America's battle with fentanyl, a growing number of Chinese money laundering organizations cleaning money for drug cartels in the U.S.
Chinese money laundering organizations have gotten very good at shielding ill-gotten gains. These organizations launder cartel cash quicker and cheaper than competitors, often with a money-back guarantee.
This cycle works because Beijing doesn't allow wealthy Chinese citizens to move more than $50,000 overseas every year. That's over fears of capital fleeing China. As China's economy continues on a downward spiral, more people want to protect their wealth by moving money overseas, and they turn to money brokers in the U.S. Here's how it works. Drug traffickers get cash for selling fentanyl in the U.S., then they hand that cash to a Chinese money broker. The broker finds a customer in China looking to buy U.S. dollars, and that customer transfers the equivalent money and commission fee in Chinese currency to the broker's bank account in China. The broker then sends the same value in dollars to the customer in China who wants U.S. dollars. In order to send the Chinese currency, called the yuan or renminbi, to drug traffickers in Mexico, the broker uses the money in the Chinese bank account to buy goods. Those goods then get shipped to Mexico. After they're sold in Mexico, the money returns to the Mexican cartel. Worth noting, Chinese banks play a key role in this cycle. Fentanyl is still the leading cause of death in the U.S. for people ages 18 to 45. Last year, the DEA seized over 55 million fentanyl pills and almost 1,000 pounds of fentanyl powder, enough to lethally dose the entire U.S. population. President Trump is making his next move on tariffs. He said Tuesday he would impose levies of about 25% on imported cars and similar duties on prescription drugs and chips. He says his action on tariffs is already producing results.
I do want to say while I'm up here, I've been contacted by some of the biggest companies in the world. And because of what we're doing economically and through tariffs and taxes and incentives, they want to come back into the United States. And we'll be announcing various very large companies, the biggest actually. And they'll be coming back having to do with chips and having to do also with cars.
Trump also said more details on the auto tariffs would come on April 2nd. A day after cabinet members are due to report to him on options for new measures. He has long complained about what he sees as unfair treatment of U.S. automotive exports. The EU, for example, imposes a 10% levy on vehicle imports, or four times the duty imposed by the U.S. However, Washington collects a 25% tariff on most imported pickup trucks, protecting a lucrative part of the market for domestic makers like Ford and Chevrolet. Trump says tariffs on drugs and chips will also start at 25% or above, and then go substantially higher over the course of the year. He didn't set a date for starting those levies, saying he wants to give pharmaceutical and tech firms time to set up U.S. factories. Since his inauguration a month ago, Trump has stacked an extra 10% tariff on all imports from China. He's also set a March 12th start date for tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum. And while he has postponed measures targeting Mexico and Canada, he's also told his team to draw up reciprocal tariffs matching those imposed by all trading partners. Major export stocks were among the decliners in Wednesday morning trade in Asia following the news. In Japan, auto brands Mazda and Subaru both fell around 2% in early trade, as did drug maker Daiichi Sankyo. Over in Taiwan, chip giant TSMC fell around 1%.
Speaking of tariffs, the man who's expected to lead President Trump's trade agenda is officially on the job. The Senate on Tuesday voted to confirm businessman Howard Lutnick as Commerce Secretary. The Wall Street billionaire has vowed to curb China's access to U.S. technologies, including advanced semiconductors. At his confirmation hearing last month, he attributed the rise of Chinese AI chatbot DeepSeek to stolen American technology.
How could it be more clear than this week when DeepSeek, a Chinese AI, says they were able to create things dirt cheap? How? By leveraging what they've taken from us, stolen from us, or leveraged from us. It's outrageous, and it needs to be addressed.
Last month, Chinese AI chatbot DeepSeek took Wall Street by storm, triggering a massive slump in American tech stocks. The company claims its technology is on par with ChatGPT, but was developed at much lower cost and with less advanced microchips. In the wake of DeepSeek's emergence, Lutnick said the U.S. needs to set global standards for innovation. He also called for a new tariff model that would prevent China from getting around U.S. export controls.
What this showed is that our export controls, not backed by tariffs, are like a whack-a-mole model where they get prevented over here and China figures out a way around it over there. We've got to find a way to back our export controls with tariff model so that we tell China, you think we are your most important trading partner. When we say no, the answer is no.
Lutnick is the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald, a leading global financial services firm. He's slated to implement President Trump's tariff strategy, which prioritizes American manufacturing. Chinese internet users say the virus surge is getting worse, especially after the Lunar New Year holiday, a time that marks a major travel boom for much of Asia. Eyewitnesses tell us that people across China are mourning their family members who recently passed away after being diagnosed with a subtype of the influenza A virus, H1N1. That said, more people are raising a similar suspicion that Chinese hospitals might not be telling the truth about what's behind the surge. Many also raise concerns about whether the bird flu outbreak among poultry in China could already be infecting humans. Jonathan Liu is a Chinese medicine practitioner and has his own clinic in Canada. He shared his doubts over what's happening with the unusual flu season.
The avian flu has already spread on a relatively large scale, but we can see that the Chinese Communist Party is still covering up the outbreak, claiming it is caused by human metapneumovirus, HMPV. However, based on witness reports of sudden deaths among many young children and people's friends and relatives, the severity of the situation cannot be explained by HMPV at all.
Here's a look at an official Hong Kong website. It describes the symptoms caused by avian flu in humans, including mild cold symptoms like fever, cough, and muscle soreness. Severe cases could catch pneumonia or even experience multiple organ failure. According to the World Health Organization, the death rate for avian flu in humans is 54%. For months, bird flu viruses have been attacking the country's poultry. Recently, Shanghai even suspended all trading of live poultry for the next 3 years. Despite the severity, the situation has been largely absent from Chinese media coverage. What's more, a report published last Thursday shows that China's healthcare system isn't testing patients for bird flu. A whistleblower and other Chinese residents have also confirmed with NTD that the hospitals they have knowledge of don't test for bird flu. And beyond that, some are pointing out the fact that standard flu-targeting treatments aren't easing patients' symptoms effectively, leading some to question whether there could be something more than the standard flu causing the illness.
There are many people in the hospital, including myself. I'm not getting better after they diagnosed and treated me as an influenza flu patient. My main symptoms were coughing, headache, and a low fever. A few of my good friends have passed away.
If you think this illness surge isn't serious, that's because you're not in the hospital and can't see the situation. This flu season is truly ruthless. We still have several influenza A patients in our ward.
Chinese official reports and experts appear to be downplaying the severity of the situation. On Monday, the country's top health body, the National Health Commission, held a press conference. There, a researcher at the Chinese CDC said most illness cases inside China are caused by the flu. He also claimed the trend of infection numbers are on the decline and that fewer positive cases of the pneumonia virus were being detected. Chief physician at Peking University Hospital said the percentage of the flu patients catching pneumonia is relatively low and said there is no need to be concerned. By contrast, doctors from local hospitals are calling on people to not overlook potential danger.
The hospital has seen more patients with fever and cough recently. If you catch the flu, do not try to tough it out.
Another case of H1N1 flu. Endured it for 3 days, and the entire lungs, appearing on X-ray scan, turned white.
It's worth noting the U.S. government, as well as media outlets outside China, widely accused Beijing of covering up the extent of the COVID-19 pandemic 5 years ago, which killed millions of people around the globe. This time, official accounts from Beijing come in stark contrast with first-hand testimony from Chinese citizens, as well as doctors from Chinese hospitals. We'll keep you updated as the situation develops. Coming up, 5,000 years of culture that was once almost lost, now brought back to life on stages around the world. But the production is banned from performing inside China itself. More on why. A narrowly avoided mid-air collision, the two players, aircraft from both China and a close ally of the United States. Critical minerals and renewable energy. An expert breaks down President Trump's energy policies and what they mean for China.
But long term, we really have to get out of markets that are controlled by communist China.
Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Next, we zoom in on the arts, where 5,000 years of traditional Chinese culture is being revived on the world stage after modern China's Communist Party sought to destroy it. Arts company Xunyun presents classical Chinese dance and a live orchestra that blends the East and West to audiences around the world, highlighting the values of ancient China and its strong belief in the divine from before communism took over. Xunyun also depicts human rights abuses and persecution of faith happening today under the Chinese regime. Because of that, Xunyun is not allowed to perform in China. Now, Xunyun has 8 troops touring around the world simultaneously. The performance will soon arrive in Washington, D.C. and New York. 2 lawsuits regarding defamation and breach of privacy have arrived in a Taiwanese court. We have the details.
The 2 lawsuits were filed respectively by a former Xunyun principal dancer and a professor at Feitian College. They accuse a Taiwanese couple of defaming them, spreading false statements, violating their privacy, and causing emotional torment. That's by circulating false accounts about the deaths of their loved ones. Meet the 2 plaintiffs, Li Bojian and Xian Yuan. Li Bojian is a former principal dancer at Xunyun. He joined the company in 2007 and has won gold medals from the NTD International Classical Chinese Dance Competition 3 times. Li is a highly acclaimed artist of classical Chinese dance. Xian Yuan is a professor of classical Chinese dance at New York-based Feitian College. The higher education institute is where many Xunyun performers get their training. Worth noting, Shenyun Performing Arts is dedicated to reviving traditional Chinese culture, which the Chinese Communist Party has sought to destroy. Shenyun also depicts scenes of human rights abuse and persecution of faith under China's communist rule in some of its dance pieces. This has led to widespread efforts by the CCP to sabotage the company. Back to the lawsuits. They accuse Taiwanese woman Chang Chun Ko and her husband of spreading damaging, false statements about the plaintiff's private lives. Last year, Chang made negative comments in a video about two of the plaintiff's loved ones who had passed away. Xian published a video statement through a Shenyun Community X account, saying Chang's rumors were irresponsible and had caused her and her grieving family tremendous pain. Xian also requested that Chang publicly correct her false statements and apologize. So, who is the Taiwanese woman? Chang is a Feitian graduate who used to perform with Shenyun as part of a practicum program. She graduated in 2019 and left Shenyun in March 2020. After her graduation, she posted a dedicated message on social media expressing gratitude to Feitian for its education and assistance. Her comments later shifted after traveling to China with her husband, where she visited Beijing Dance Academy. She went on to launch a Taiwan-based classical Chinese dance studio as co-founder. Chang later avoided mentioning her graduation from Feitian and her experience with Shenyun, but she publicly stated she had been well-trained in Chinese classical dance and performed in numerous renowned theaters around the world, which she benefited from. In 2024, Chang started making negative comments about Feitian and Shenyun, and also filed a lawsuit against Shenyun and Feitian College in the U.S. Many current Shenyun artists, musicians, and executives have defended the group against Chang's allegations. Shenyun responded to that lawsuit in a statement. It reads, quote, "The recent civil complaint filed against Shenyun is undoubtedly part of a coordinated offensive against our company being orchestrated by the Chinese regime, which has tried to cancel Shenyun since its inception in 2006.
A narrowly avoided collision between Chinese and Filipino aircraft. The U.S. ambassador to the Philippines, Mary Kay Carlson, posted on social media Tuesday condemning what she called the Chinese Navy's dangerous maneuvers against the Philippines. The country is a close U.S. ally in the region. One day earlier, the Chinese Navy deployed a chopper to tail a Philippine civilian plane above the South China Sea. The two aircraft came dangerously close to each other. Here's a closer look.
The Philippine government said the military helicopter came within less than 10 feet. The Philippines called out Beijing for posing a serious risk to the safety of the pilots and passengers. Officials say the plane was conducting a routine mission above the Scarborough Shoal, which Manila calls part of its exclusive economic zone. China disputes that account and accused the country of intruding on its airspace. China claims the shoal and almost the entire South China Sea as its own territory. The 2016 international arbitration ruled China's claim invalid. The U.S. also does not acknowledge China's stance over the waters.
The Trump administration is working to bolster domestic energy production with a focus on critical minerals and policy changes shifting away from renewable energy. For a deeper dive into President Trump's energy policies, Entity's Jack Bradley spoke with Daniel Turner, founder and CEO of Power the Future.
Daniel Turner, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks, great to be with you.
Now, critical minerals and rare earth elements are becoming increasingly valuable over the past few years for making phones, EVs, missile guidance systems, among other things. China has a large portion of these minerals. Do you think President Trump's tariffs on China choke U.S. access to them?
I think it puts these minerals in play, without a doubt, because what it will do is hopefully drive other markets to open up. By making them rarer. So there may be some initial short-term crunch in the market, no doubt, but long-term, we really have to get out of markets that are controlled by communist China. A lot of these mineral deposits, these rare earth deposits, and metals as well, they have abominable human rights violations. They use slave and child labor. They have no environmental protections whatsoever. And ironically, so many of these metals and minerals and rare earths are found here in America. And so we can open up the mines and have access to them. And I think maybe the tariffs will move us in that direction to being energy independent when it comes to these metals and minerals and rare earths.
Well, it seems there is a winner out of all of this. It's the Chinese Communist Party, who has a lot of these rare earth minerals. Can you talk a bit about how the transition to renewables helps the CCP?
Yeah, well, they dominate 95% of this market, right? The metals and minerals and rare earths that are in wind and solar, et cetera, are dominated by the Communist Chinese. Not only that, around 70% of these products are manufactured in Communist China. And so every time the Biden administration, for example, made an effort to say we're going to build a wind field or build solar fields, all they were doing was having a huge transfer of wealth of the American tax dollars to Communist China to buy this inferior product. I've never understood why it was bad for us to stop burning coal in America so that the Communist Chinese could burn coal to make solar panels that we then truck across the Pacific. We turn our farmland into solar hellscapes to make solar panel 15% of the time at twice the cost. And somehow they tell us this is a benefit. Somehow they tell us this is green. And it makes absolutely no sense. So it makes sense that the Communist Chinese support all of these climate initiatives, that they fund a lot of these climate groups to say, yeah, climate change is real. You all need to be afraid. You all need wind and solar. Of course they would fund this. They absolutely support it because they're the ones profiting for it.
Daniel Turner, founder and CEO of Power the Future, thank you very much for your insight here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's all for today's China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocus@ntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. For on-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.